Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
On a Friday morning, it's May 3rd. Good to be with you. The Feast of Saints of Philip and James, the Apostles. Hope you're having a great day today. We have a jam-packed show. There is so much to talk about this morning, and some of what I'll be talking about in 2 cents will carry over into my segment with Vanessa Denha-Garmo later today on Epiphany, a number of items regarding the media I don't think I'm going to have time to get to today, so we will discuss in Epiphany. But coming up, right after the news and all that good stuff and the weather, by the way, it's 59 right now and misty in southeastern Michigan, we are going to be taking a look at the topic of heroes. If you look across the country right now, all these different radical protests that are going on, damaging to private property, public property, statues of George Washington being covered with Palestinian flags, the American flag being taken down and replaced with a Palestinian flag, all these students, and even though the numbers are showing about half or a little less are students versus professional agitators, many students are involved in these events around the country and have, for some reason, obviously based on what they're saying and the shirts they're wearing and the signs they're carrying, have been brainwashed and believe that Hamas is the way to go. As a matter of fact, many of them are calling themselves Hamas. They say, "We are Hamas and death to America." So where are the heroes standing up for the country on the college campuses? Well, they're there, and several of them are brave young men from a fraternity on the campus of University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. So we'll have a report on these young men, how they stood up to the bullies and the mob mentality on their campus, that when the flag was torn down and staff put up another one, the students then, the protesters, decided we're going to pull it down again. And these young men from this fraternity said, nope, that's not happening, not on our watch. And it's a beautiful story. And when you hear the report, it is going to bring tears to your eyes. And the other thing that I want to discuss is, and this will tie into Fact Check Friday as well, the facts about Hamas. When students are going around chanting, "I am Hamas, we are Hamas, death to America," what does that mean? And do they know what it's like for life living under Hamas? We have a clip, a very telling clip of a woman who is from Gaza and says that the protesters are privileged kids who don't know what the heck they're talking about. And for the average person that they claim they're so concerned about, it's about survival in the Middle East. It's a very, very telling clip that was embedded in a very good report on the New York Post. So we'll share that. And then heroes of another kind in the pro-life movement. Now, since, and even before this, since Proposal 3, I have been really talking about the need for better messaging in the pro-life movement. And thanks be to God, I'm so excited about these beautiful videos that have been produced by a wonderful organization, American Pro-Life Movement, with a connection to our friend Michael Kinney, who's right from here in Michigan, who's president of Pro-Life Partners. They've actually produced 11 amazing spots, ads, messages. And what's so good about this, speaking of heroes, is they talk about the heroes in motherhood, fatherhood, and they touch on the really difficult topics. They explain them. They don't shy away from them. One of the big things that was missing during the campaign with Proposal 3, a lot of politicians, and even the gubernatorial campaign, a lot of politicians would not touch the issue of rape. They're afraid to talk about it. But you can and you should talk about it. It's extremely important because we know we are against all abortion, even in the cases of rape and incest. And there are some very good arguments as well as testimonies, of course, Catholic teaching as well. But from a personal perspective, how do we explain this to an audience in, say, 60 seconds or maybe less than 2 minutes? So we'll talk with Michael Kenny in the second hour of the program, along with Doug Keck. And first up at 8:30 will be Marcus Peter giving us a look at our beautiful scripture verses for this weekend, the gospel, the readings, and we'll just dive into that. Of course, you know Marcus so well from his great work here at Ave Maria Radio. He is a director of marketing, also the host of Unveiling the Covenants. He's a Catholic biblical theologian, apologist, and preacher, and has spoken and written prolifically around the world since 2008. His website is marcuspeter.com, Marcus B. Peter, excuse me, but you can also find him at the AveMariaRadio.net webpage, especially when you look at his show, of course, Unveiling the Covenants. Weather-wise, as I mentioned, it's 59 degrees out there right now. Let's take a look and see what's happening in the Detroit area. Showers and a few thunderstorms. Comfortable, though. And we have 73 degrees as our high, overnight low of 57. It could clear up a little bit later in the day, hopefully. Tomorrow, we're going to have partly cloudy skies and 75 degrees. And on Sunday, AM showers and a high of 74. On the national scene, let's see what the National Weather Service is saying for us this morning. Periods of heavy rainfall expected across the lower Mississippi Valley and the Gulf Coast. A slight risk, level 2 of 4, of excessive rainfall. We'll have a story on this as well, has been issued for portions of the Texas and Louisiana coast. And a strong Pacific storm will impact the Pacific Northwest and Great Basin today through the weekend, bringing high elevation snow, low elevation rain, and some strong winds. So that's your local and your national forecast. Once again, we have 59 degrees in the Motor City. It's 8:06, and of course, as usual, we have a lot of news to get through, so let's do that right now on a Friday morning. Well, the Vatican announcing yesterday the Holy Father will speak at an event on Italy's demographic crisis as the country's birth rate sits at an historic low. The Holy Father addressing the General State of the Birth Rate Conference on May 10th at the Conciliazione Auditorium, very close to the Vatican. The two-day event is organized by the Forum of Family Associations and the Foundation of Births. It seeks to address the 50 years of steady decline in births across Europe and especially in Italy, and what can be done to reverse it. Catholic News Agency reporting that births in Italy dropping to a historic low last year. Italy's National Statistics Bureau recording 379,000 births in 2023. That's a 3.6% decline from 2022 and a 34.2% drop from 2008. Former President Donald Trump is polling more than 10 points ahead of Joe Biden among Catholic voters, thanks in part to increasing support from Hispanic Catholic voters. That's according to a recent Pew survey. This story also on Catholic News Agency. Overall, Pew has Trump leading by only 1% among the general voter population. His support among the Catholic demographic, however, shows noteworthy signs of growth compared with 2020. In other news this morning, the New York Police Department confirming nearly half of the protesters arrested at Columbia, as Natalie Muglioli tells us, and City College this week, were not affiliated with the schools.
The NYPD says at least 47% of pro-Palestinian demonstrators who were taken into custody were not students at Columbia or City College. The stats confirm Mayor Adams' suspicions that outside agitators are involved in these demonstrations, with Fordham University students making similar observations when a protest popped up at the Lincoln Center campus on Wednesday.
Probably 30% of the people showing up now aren't even Fordham students. They're just here, they're covering their faces. I don't know what they're getting ready to do.
Columbia University took its classes virtual last week and announced all final exams will go remote for the remainder of the term.
Survivors of the October 7th attack on Israel from Hamas are suing pro-Palestinian advocacy groups. The plaintiffs, five American survivors of the attack and a family member of one victim who was killed, are accusing these groups of aiding and abetting terrorists. The groups in question, American Muslims for Palestine, National Students for Justice in Palestine, Advocate for Palestinian Rights, and they are anti-Israel. The lawsuit alleges the organizations use propaganda to recruit college students to become foot soldiers of Hamas. National Students for Justice in Palestine has been involved in the ongoing protests on the college campuses across the country, with the Columbia University chapter being suspended by the college last year. Liz Warner tells us with anti-Semitism on the rise across New York State, more funding is now coming to bolster schools' Holocaust curriculum.
Speaker Carl Hastie and other lawmakers announced $500,000 from the 2024-25 state budget will go to review and update the Holocaust curriculum in schools. Hastie noted this additional investment will ensure that students across the state are accurately and completely taught the lessons of the Holocaust in order to ensure that history never repeats itself. Meantime, the Anti-Defamation League reported anti-Semitic incidents rose by 110% last year, with incidents of harassment up 226% in New York.
Joe Biden breaking his silence and condemned violent protests shaking college campuses across the country amid the worst anti-Semitism outbreak, as you heard, in decades, and also adding that Islamophobia has no place in America. Biden saying there should be no place on any campus, no place in America for anti-Semitism or threats of violence against Jewish students. He then said there is no place for hate speech or violence of any kind, whether it's anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, or discrimination against Arab Americans or Palestinian Americans. It's simply wrong. There's no place for racism in America. It's all wrong. It's un-American. Law enforcement sources indicated, however, to Fox News Digital there has been no increase in Islamophobia across the country. And in response, Harvard Law Professor Emeritus Alan Dershowitz saying on X, Biden should just simply denounce anti-Semitism without pandering to Muslims and Arabs, before later saying the crisis at hand was about anti-Semitism, discrimination, and violence against Jews, not other groups. Dershowitz also questioning why won't he just condemn Jew hatred. The president, meanwhile, saying he would not call up the National Guard. The protests again have continued despite the president condemning the actions of anti-Israel agitators against Jews. Mark Mayfield tells us Senate Republicans are calling on the Biden administration to stop potential plans to welcome Palestinian refugees from Gaza into the U.S.
CBS News reports that officials are considering allowing some Palestinians who have immediate family members who are American citizens or permanent residents into the country. More than two dozen Senate Republicans signed a letter rejecting the proposal, calling it a national security threat. The group raised doubts that the administration could prevent members of Hamas or other terrorist groups from entering the U.S. The GOP senators instead called on President Biden to prioritize securing the release of the hostages that are held by Hamas.
There will be no Palestinian flags, meanwhile, at the Eurovision Song Contest. This year's event starts Tuesday in Sweden, and a spokesperson for the contest says those attending it will not be allowed to bring in Palestinian flags, wave banners with slogans, or say anything about the Israel-Hamas war. And the Biden administration is facing pressure from Republicans to pull federal funding from universities that are failing to crack down on anti-Semitism. Education Secretary Miguel Cardona was grilled on Capitol Hill this week as the college protests against the war in Israel reached a boiling point. West Virginia Senator Shelley Capito pressing him over whether he would expedite Title VI investigations and hold the universities accountable.
No student should feel unsafe on their campus. Yet just last week, Columbia University had to move classes online, and Jewish students were told by a campus rabbi to go home.
The Title VI of the Civil Rights Act prohibiting discrimination of race, color, or national origin in institutions that receive federal funds. Cardona confirming his agency is investigating 136 cases of possible violations, including at Columbia, which became, of course, the epicenter of the protest, but did not commit to expediting those investigations. And Richard Stelling explains that even if colleges are giving in sometimes to the violent demands of pro-Palestinian protesters, the results would likely be virtually unnoticeable.
Many pro-Palestinian protesters are calling on colleges and universities in Virginia to support a ceasefire and cut off financial support for Israel. However, economist and former president of Old Dominion University, Dr. James Cook, explains to 8 News that colleges don't typically invest in particular companies, but instead have managers who are investing a wider portfolio. He adds that lots of investors making these changes won't make much of a difference at all, because for every seller, there is a buyer.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott, in other news, is ordering state schools to ignore new federal rules meant to prevent discrimination, or supposedly to prevent discrimination on campus. He's backed by fellow Republicans such as State Rep. Brian Harrison.
This is basically Biden declaring war on women, girls, and students, and Texas has got to stand up and protect them.
Texas and a handful of other states are suing to block the changes. They claim the Biden administration misinterpreted the intent of Title IX altogether. The American Civil Liberties Union is filing a lawsuit against the city of Chicago. On Thursday, the ACLU filed a federal lawsuit claiming Chicago is unprepared for protesters who will be in the city for the Democratic National Convention in August. The spokesman for the ACLU of Illinois telling reporters the city hasn't created a clear, transparent plan on how to handle demonstrators. And Eric Lycum tells us areas in northeast Houston and Harris County are under mandatory evacuations as floodwaters along the east fork of the San Jacinto River continue to rise.
I have signed a disaster declaration for Harris County effective immediately.
Harris County Judge Lena Hidalgo issued a mandatory evacuation order for affected areas yesterday as the county activates its level 2 response.
We all saw the rain that came through the county. There was a lot of rain north of us over the past couple of days, and that's going to have some really severe impact for folks.
Over 9 inches of rain has fallen in that area, and the river is running 20 feet above normal and is expected to rise another 8 feet today, nearing flood levels experienced during Hurricane Harvey. Hidalgo said those living near Lake Houston who don't evacuate will be trapped for up to 3 days by surrounding floodwaters.
It will cost nearly $2 billion to reconstruct the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. Maryland Transportation Secretary Paul Whitefeld telling the Baltimore Sun and the Washington Post yesterday, replacing the collapsed structure will come with a preliminary price tag of between $1.7 billion and $1.9 billion. He also says a new bridge should be completed by the fall of 2028. Meanwhile, Maryland's congressional delegation introducing legislation to ensure the federal government covers the entire cost of replacing the bridge. And Tammy Trujillo tells us that new research shows exercise that makes you huff and puff actually reduces your risk of an early death by some 20%.
Australian researchers analyzed nearly 200 studies from over the past two decades and looked at how cardiorespiratory fitness that works out the heart, lung, and muscles predicted future health outcomes. What they found is that those with high fitness levels had a 20% lower risk of premature death, chronic disease, and complications from poor health. The lead author of the study says the message is simple. If you do a lot of huff and puff exercise, then your risk of dying early is reduced.
And finally, in our news segment at about 8:16, if you're a dog lover, pick it up right there, sorry. Austin is the second most dog-obsessed city in the country. That is according to a study released by Bark and Zillow. Bark, known for its BarkBox, says the determination is based on more than a dozen years of its subscription data in combination with Zillow's pet-friendly rental numbers. Austin comes in second place with its share of pet-friendly rentals at 77%, which will well eclipse as a national average of 55%. Only Dallas performed better at 79%. Top breeds in Austin, Texas are the adorable Golden and Labrador Retrievers. Now, I have to say, I love dogs, especially big ones like Golden and Labs. So cute, such good dogs. But if I had time, which I don't, to get a dog, it would be, no surprise here, an Italian breed, the Spanone. Spanone Italiano. They have the personality and the size of Goldens and Labs, but they have a very different type of coat, and they're adorable. I actually saw them one year when I was watching one of the dog shows, and of course, did some research. They go all the way back, hundreds of years in Italy, in northern Italy, especially in Piedmonte, but they're very friendly and very lovable, and they're big, and they like a lot of attention, much like Goldens and Labs. So there you go. Thanks for tuning in to Catholic Connection. More great Catholic programming coming up. We're going to find the heroes. They're out there, and we'll introduce them to you. Stay tuned.
Spring into mowing season with a new Cub Cadet lawn tractor from Weingarts. We've been helping families like yours choose the right power equipment since 1945. Cub Cadet XT Enduro Series tractors are engineered to offer the best combination of quality, value, and performance. Cub Cadet lawn and garden tractors offer comfort and year-round versatility. Stop by our stores to help find your next Cub Cadet or visit us online at Weingarts.com. From our family to yours, thank you for letting us serve you.
Weingarts, everything.
I was once lost, and now I'm found. It's one of my favorite songs. I wrote a talk on surrender that was based on Amazing Grace. I and my niece sing verses of the song throughout my talk. It is through Amazing Grace that we're saved. It is through His grace we are found. Surrendering is a big part of my testimony story. Writing our testimony is a great exercise, especially if you are in a leadership position. Knowing your own story is part of sharing the good news. I'm a person who needs to be in control, who needs to plan things out. It took me a long time to accept that God's plan is not always my plan, and His timing is not always my timing. When I've surrendered, great things have happened, like meeting my husband, having a child, starting my own communications and coaching company, and being on Catholic Radio. If you feel lost, surrender. Through God, you will be found. This has been a Christ Center communication message. I'm Vanessa Denhagarmo, a communications evangelist and host of Epiphany.
Buying a home is a huge milestone, but when you need a mortgage, it's hard to know who to trust. For your home financing, choose Alliance Catholic Credit Union. They share your faith and values and support the local Catholic community. Now through May 31st, unlock your dream home with a minimum 3% down payment, and we will waive your PMI. Save money up front and in your monthly payment. Get started today at AllianceCatholic.com or call 877-950-2228.
Federally insured by NCUA, NMLS number 401254, Equal Housing Lender.
6:20. Welcome back. Catholic Connection, classic by Bonnie Tyler from the movie Footloose, if my memory serves me correctly. Great song. Romans 12:21 says, do not let evil defeat you. Instead, conquer evil with good. And Joshua 1:9, be brave, be strong, be courageous. So where are the heroes? We look out across these campuses and the highly volatile situations that have developed the last couple of weeks, a bad situation getting even worse, our president trying to play both sides and calling out Islamophobia, even though police say that's not an issue, hasn't gone up in recent years, not an issue currently. And people are very upset, and they feel as if our country, and it is being unfairly attacked, even by students who are living here and who were born and raised in this amazing country of ours. Now, we know with the numbers that we had in the story in the news regarding a percentage looking at the students versus the professional agitators at Columbia. Okay, and I watched an interview on Raymond Arroyo's program last night with Father Roger Landry, who is a chaplain, and he said he looked at the numbers as well, and it's about 3 out of 5 of those involved, and we're just talking about Columbia now, were students. The rest were professional agitators. But if you look at what these students who were involved, not everyone, but a good portion of them, the T-shirts they were wearing, the signs they were carrying, the statements they were screaming and yelling and chanting, we are Hamas, death to America. Across the country, they also desecrated property, damaged property, put people in harm's way, held people hostage, all in the name of supposed care about innocent victims. And yet they support Hamas, which is a terrorist group classified by the United States as a terrorist group. So let's start with the heroes who made a difference. On the campus of University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, there was a group of young men in a fraternity who had about had it with all of the nonsense that was going on, especially when it came to the American flag. Now, because of their heroism, and they withstood bottles and water balloons and cursing and screaming, they still decided we are going to protect the flag and our university is not going to be known for allowing this flag to be desecrated. So someone decided to start a GoFundMe page for them, allowing perhaps a fraternity to donate to their favorite charities, maybe have a gathering for them and Thanksgiving for their heroism of these young men. And if you listen to this report that was from the local CBS affiliate, which I have to give credit where credit is due, they did a decent job on it. No agenda in the story. They just gave the facts of what happened and interviewed this fine one of the students. They started out, you'll notice in this report, where when this aired a few days ago, they had raised something like $300,000. Well, as of this morning, I checked right before I went on the air and I was telling Andrew, their GoFundMe page for Phi Kappa Phi at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, is now up to $517,000. Now, what does that say of how people feel about what these young men did? And there's one point in this story where I think you're going to get choked up when you hear what this young man says about fighting for our country and what it meant for him and the others to stand up for the American flag and for our country. Take a listen.
A viral online fundraiser has raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for UNC fraternity members after they protected the American flag during that campus protest yesterday.
Yeah, it's raised nearly $300,000 in just a few short hours. CBS 17's Harrison Grubb talks with students who stepped in about how this whole thing played out.
These moments on UNC's campus are resonating with thousands across the country.
When we went in, we said, we will not let the headline of this day be an American flag falls at UNC.
Ongoing protests against the war in Gaza intensified on campus Tuesday. At one point, pro-Palestinian protesters replaced the American flag flying over the quad with a Palestinian one. After university administrators brought a new flag, they tried bringing that one down as well.
My friends and I kind of looked at each other and then said, we should go over there.
Jason Calderon joined several of his fellow students in propping up the flag to prevent it from touching the ground. All while he said, says he and others were pelted with objects from protesters.
So many Americans in history have fought for the ideals of justice and freedom that that flag represents. And who are we if we don't take some water balloons and take some yelling and some chaos to, you know, reap the benefits of what they've sown for American society?
Images of the students' actions flooded social media, leading to the creation of a GoFundMe to benefit fraternities whose members protected the flag. It raised more than $250,000 within 12 hours.
So many people are seeing that UNC is a beacon of light.
On campus, steps are being taken to make sure it doesn't happen again.
It was really just inspirational for us to see everybody coming together and the chancellor coming in and saying, as long as I'm chancellor, that flag will stay up.
I reached out to the fraternities named in the fundraiser but have not heard back yet. In Chapel Hill, Harrison Grubb, CBS 17 News.
So Bob Dylan said, a hero is someone who understands the responsibility that comes with his freedom. And I think that quote really applies to those young men from Phi Kappa Phi who stood up in a very, very difficult situation and took all kinds of grief for protecting Old Glory. Now, interestingly enough, as I mentioned, in terms of what these students who are involved in these protests around the country, what they're saying about I Am Hamas, Death to America, I found a very powerful clip that was embedded in a very good article all about life in Gaza. And this is a woman who is saying the protesters, especially the American students, have no idea what they're talking about.
Have you ever wondered why we haven't seen mass pro-Palestine protests in the Middle East? See, in the West, you are privileged. You can demand even without understanding. Back where I come from, we don't demand. We are grateful if we find the means to feed our children, to pay the rent, to buy our medication. We are thankful if we're not arrested, tortured, and raped. You should know that you are supporting our oppressors, that you are betraying us, all of us, the Gazans included.
I Am Hamas, really? Well, according to Palestinian polling from 2022, 62% of Palestinians believe people in the Gaza Strip cannot even criticize Hamas authorities without fear. And they say this fear is justified. In 2017, Human Rights Watch concluded that since it seized control of Gaza in June of 2007, Hamas authorities have harassed critics and abused those in its custody. And then how about how they treat women? So you have all these protesters who are saying, I am Hamas, many of whom are women. Okay, so if you are Hamas, then maybe you want to go and live where they're based, right? And work with them or something or support them somehow. Miriam, a professional dancer of Dabki, an Arabic folk style, believes in the power of art to improve the world. But after Hamas gained control of Gaza in 2007, they told her to stop dancing and study the Quran instead. When she refused, they began to threaten her family. She's not alone. Since taking power, Hamas has reportedly clamped down on women's basic freedoms and artistic expressions, deemed un-Islamic. In July of 2022, they banned street concerts. In 2017, it banned dog walking to protect women and children. And in 2013, a marathon organized by the United Nations was canceled after Hamas' decision to ban women from competing. So, you are Hamas. Well, good for you. How about the way they treat people with same-sex attraction, the LGBTQ community? Polls of public sentiment toward LGBT people in the Palestinian territories find it's overwhelmingly negative. A global acceptance index, a measure of the relative level of social acceptance of LGBT people and their rights, reportedly ranks Palestine in 130. In Gaza, homosexual sex has been outlawed since 1936. And in the occupied territories, generally queer and trans identities continue to be the subjects of intense debate in public life, as well as targets of anti-LGBTQ violence and persecution. So what or whom are you supporting? This has gone far beyond their concern for the innocent victims who are caught in the middle of this war. And you can have healthy debates in your poli-sci class about how Israel is handling the response to the brutal attack on their nation and their people which Hamas started on October 7th. You can debate that all you want. But to sit there and to call yourself, we are Hamas, I am Hamas, death to America, what or whom are you supporting? As that woman from Gaza just said. But here's good news. Iran is opening up colleges to those students who want to come, who were being expelled from Columbia or Yale or UCLA. You can go to school in Iran. So what is Iran like for, let's say, homosexuals? Only one of six countries has imposed the death penalty for same-sex relations. The death penalty can and has been applied to juvenile LGBTQ individuals. Flogging and imprisonment are also imposed for many same-sex acts and cross-dressing, and that's just for starters. But despite that, the head of a major Iranian university reportedly offered scholarships to students expelled from the U.S. and European universities over the anti-Israel protest boiling over. So Hamas is also directly connected to Iran. So if you're saying I am Hamas, you're also saying I am Iran. So in addition to everything we mentioned about Hamas and Iran, now you have how they work together. And this is from the very liberal CNN. Hamas has been openly communicating with Iran and its paramilitary allies about its militant goals. Israel says Iran supports Hamas to the tune of some $100 million a year. The U.S. State Department 2 years ago, or 3 years ago actually, said the group receives funding, weapons, and training from Iran, as well as some funds that are raised in Gulf Arab countries. So by saying you're Hamas, you're also saying you're Iran because of the close ties. But hey, if that's your thing and you want death to America, then go live there because they're welcoming you. They're saying we'll welcome you in our universities. This is what that woman was talking about. It's insulting to say this in so many ways. It's discriminatory, it's ugly, and it's terroristic in terms of these phrases that they're using. And you talk about facts. These kids have no idea what or whom they're talking about when it comes to I am Hamas and everything that Hamas is responsible for, in addition to having such close ties with Iran. But good for those students, and I'm sure by the time this GoFundMe page is wrapped up, they'll probably have close to $1 million. You heard that report. They were at over 250. It's doubled since then. Almost $570,000 they've raised. Good for them. And that shows how the majority of the American people, if you've got that much money that quickly, how upset people are about what these protests are doing to our country. That, to me, was very, very encouraging in terms of heroes. All right, we have about 6 minutes left, and I want to talk about other heroes, and I'm so excited about these videos. And we're going to have Michael Canan with us a little bit later on in the program. And it is going to be awesome because what they're doing is they now have a group called, it's like an umbrella group with several different pro-life organizations, the American Pro-Life Movement. You can find out these videos at theamericanprolifemovement.com. And I've been saying for several years that we have got to be better in the pro-life movement at our messaging. We cannot be afraid to talk about rape because if you talk to anyone who went door to door for Proposal 3, that came up repeatedly. And we need to know how to talk about it because there are great responses, including this one. Again, these are videos, 11 of them, and we'll give you the links, americanprolifemovement.com. Talking about the unthinkable, but how to respond to it. Take a listen.
Liam was born 11 years ago, and like all children, his story intertwines with his mother's. Liam's mother, Rebecca, was raped and became pregnant at 18. The man who assaulted her was more than twice her age, and she was homeless. She couldn't provide for a child, and she was the victim of a violent crime. But circumstances, even horrible circumstances, do not define us. Rebecca leaned into hope. She persisted with courage, and she gave birth to Liam. A family adopted Liam, and the adoptive father says, "Rebecca and Liam have taught us way more than we could ever teach them." The message, compassion. This story is complicated. It's personal. It's gut-wrenching. it's also inspiring, a story of hope. Rebecca and Liam's lives are intertwined. We cannot diminish Rebecca's trauma, but we also cannot dehumanize Liam. Both need our help. Both deserve our help. We must be compassionate to both. Support both. Embrace both. Welcome both. Love both.
Powerful. Well done. Well said. And it hits on the issue that a lot of people talk about. That is exceptions in rape and incest. And we know as Catholics, there is never an exception. But you love them both. You love the child. You love the mother. Because rape is a violent crime. So why are you victimizing then the woman and the child? We can have discussions about it. We don't have to be afraid. And our heroes in the pro-life movement, led by Michael Kenney, is going to join us in the second hour of the program. He's president of Pro-Life Partners Foundation. Working with this umbrella group, AmericanProLifeMovement.com, has put together, again, 11 beautiful videos. You can use it for audio, whatever you like. And we're going to really encourage you later on in the program, even now, to go to AmericanProLifeMovement.com, watch these videos, post them, get them out there like crazy. There are plenty of heroes out there, folks. We just need to know where to find them, and we need to not give in to despair, right? We are a people of hope because we are a Christian people. Joshua 1:9, be brave, be strong, be courageous. Romans 12:21, do not let evil defeat you. Instead, conquer evil with good. The young men in North Carolina, the people who put these videos together, they are conquering evil with good. And they're heroes because they're brave, strong, and courageous. We'll be right back. Dr. Marcus Peter joins us now every week talking about the readings for the Sunday Mass. Of course, Marcus is Ave Maria, what do I do for a living? Ave Maria Radio's Director of Marketing. He is also the host of Unveiling the Covenants, a Catholic biblical theologian, apologist, and preacher who has spoken and written, prolifically around the world on Jesus, the Church, and the Gospel. So, we're in a beautiful time of year, Marcus, and coming up this Sunday, what are we going to be privy to in terms of the Mass readings? Good morning.
Good morning, Teresa. Thank you for having me on the program. It's always a joy to join you. So immediately after we celebrate Easter, the Church does this beautiful thing of kind of, especially in the Gospel readings, this kind of retrospective going through especially the Last Supper discourse in John 15. And the reason for it is because just like the apostles, until Jesus' resurrection and his ascension and Pentecost, they really don't understand what Jesus was trying to say. And they only understand things in hindsight. So on the one hand, in the first reading, we're going to be looking at Acts 10, where Peter, after Pentecost, is now being sent forth to the Gentiles. You've got this great opening with him having to go to the house of Cornelius. And Cornelius is a Gentile. He is a soldier. He's an official. And he's been secretly practicing the faith in Jesus Christ of his own accord. He probably heard it somewhere. We don't know where he heard it. But we do know that after having heard about Jesus Christ of his own accord with no one inducting him, him and his family had been practicing faith in Jesus Christ. And so their whole life, their moral conduct, all of these things changed. And so Peter is sent to them, and he not only baptizes them, which is a crucial thing because he's a Gentile. So Peter baptizes the first Gentile family. And as soon as he does so, it is said that the gift of the Holy Spirit has been poured out on all the Gentiles, because it fell upon all those who were listening to the word. So we don't know what that means specifically. All we do know is that it was very clear that when he was there, he saw that Jesus had opened salvation beyond the threshold of blood biological relationship to the Jews. And this was a big deal. This was a massive deal. So it really begins there. And we go on to talk about, you know, your favorite part of John, you know, abide in me. We still continue that theme this Sunday.
And the second reading is 1 John 4, verses 7 through 10, about loving one another.
Yep. So by the time we get to the second reading and we've gone through the Psalms, what the church is trying to do here is to remind us, the theme for this Sunday, for example, is to remind us that if we say, if we profess belief in Jesus Christ, if we say we are followers of Jesus Christ, members of the covenant family, then the church is trying to compel us to realize our moral lives must change. There must be a kind of moral conversion that takes place. It's not enough to say, I believe in Jesus Christ. Every aspect of my life, my conduct becomes a witness of this. So John, to that end, essentially says that whoever is without love does not know God, for God is love. But then he goes on to say that the way God showed his love to us was that he sent his only son. And now we are called to reflect that. God shows his love through action. We are called to show our love to God through action, because not that we have loved God, but he loved us and sent his son as an expiation for our sins. Not so that we can continue sinning, but so that we can cease sinning and become like the son in every way.
What I love about this is the reminder that when you are a person of faith, you don't just say, oh yeah, I got Jesus, and then go on your merry way. There has to be, as you said, a commitment and action following that commitment.
You're completely right, Teresa. And maybe this is one of the biggest struggles for all of us. I'd say for all of us, but there are many of us in the community who believe that I go to church on Sunday, and maybe I say the prayers before meals when we eat our family dinner, and so we're good. We're checking those boxes. We donate to church, or we're doing just about this, and so we're good. You know, we're in the all-star camp. Jesus is proud of us. Jesus loves us. But the more we read, even just this Sunday's gospel reading and all of the other readings, the more we realize that Jesus doesn't just want a few good actions. He wants a complete transformation of our life. He wants to begin it today. He wants to keep transforming us until the day we breathe our last. And then through that final purgation process, by the time we get to heaven, he wants to transform us so completely into his own image in the love of the Father.
We're talking with Dr. Marcus Peter, Ave Maria Radio's Director of Marketing, also the host of Unveiling the Covenants. Each week he joins me here to discuss the upcoming readings for Sunday, which I love this, Marcus, because my spiritual director told me years ago to read the readings before Mass and then bring your book with you, your devotional, you know, whatever it is, Magnificat or Word Among Us or Living Faith, but have that with you so you can follow along. Sometimes now, hopefully they're back in the pews. I know they removed a lot of things during COVID, but if you have Bibles or if you have a devotional or the readings in the pews, open those up, because it makes so much difference when you hear it, read it again, and then hear it again proclaimed at Mass.
Yep, absolutely, Teresa. In fact, when I first came back into the church, as I mentioned in one of the earlier segments that we did together, in Protestantism, there is no notion of having readings that are woven together like this. In fact, there is no liturgical calendar in my old tradition of the Assemblies of God. It was completely dependent on what the pastor said the Spirit was speaking through him to in that week. And sometimes he'd go into some kind of a Bible study. So we do one chapter at a time of a certain book in the Bible, like, say, the Gospel of John, which is funny because then we'd come to John chapter 6 and he'd say it was just symbolic, but I don't want to get into that. But the fact of the matter is the church weaves together these readings because there actually is a common theme that connects everything from the first reading to the responsorial psalm to the second reading to the acclamation to the gospel. All of these readings are connected by the one same theme. And this week's theme is that salvation in Jesus Christ requires that our entire moral lives be converted. And there's a reason for these themes. The church, as a good mother, is trying to wake us up to this reality. Following Jesus means submitting our thoughts, our actions, our decisions to the person of Jesus Christ. Because if he can be Lord over our actions, we can set the world on fire for him. He Amen. Wants to be in charge of every area of our life because he wants to save other souls and bring them to heaven.
But as always, it's people misunderstand how Catholics understand this, because sometimes Catholics may not even be able to explain it well enough, because although it's not, you can't earn your salvation, it's a gift, okay? Mm-hmm. And God gives it to us freely, and we have to accept it by saying yes. So that's the first action we have to take, is to say yes and to enter into a personal relationship with him. But then what does that look like? This idea of just moving along, I don't understand where it comes from, because it's so clear in Scripture. There is you say yes, but then you are my friends if you do what I command you.
Amen, amen. I just want to mention, every week on Mondays, I write these gospel reflections for the coming Sunday on my website, marcusbpeter.com. So that a number of people have already told me they're really appreciative of having this kind of reflection available to them. So in case people are interested, but you know, I'm one of those people who prefer the written format. So now the reason why I mentioned that, though, is because you're completely right. You think about what Jesus says, right? He doesn't just say, well, have faith and be done with it. He says, no, if you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. He also says, you are my friends if you do what I command.
Right.
And we gloss over those parts because we like the idea of friendship with Jesus Christ. We like the idea of saying that I love Jesus Christ and I'm in love with Jesus Christ. But we need to understand that Jesus lays the condition for us. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will do what I command. And the command is to love one another, but that also looks like the entire life of Christ. So everything from laying down our pride and our lust and our greed and our gluttony and our sloth and our envy and our anger. On a daily basis, we crucify these things to the cross of Christ so that he can raise us up to humility and chastity, so that he can raise us up to temperance and fortitude and, mm-hmm. and prudence. And in the end, so that he can raise us up to be like him, sons and daughters of the Father.
Even the gospel acclamation, whoever loves me will keep my word, says the Lord, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him.
Mm-hmm. Yep. As you mentioned earlier, when I was a Protestant, one of the misconceptions we had toward the Catholic Church was that, like you said, we believed, Catholics believed in a kind of works-based righteousness. That's the language we use. So you work your way into salvation. Well, the funny thing is the Church condemned that in the heresy called Pelagianism very early on.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot earn our way into salvation. But the way salvation works is, it is grace and love working through faith. Grace and love working through faith. So the Father pours his grace and his love into our souls. And that compels us into action. One of the big actions is a complete transformation of the way we live, the moral conversion, right? And that conversion bolsters our faith, and our faith is this daily choice to believe in that which has been revealed and to study that more, to meditate on that more, so that I can fall deeper in love with Jesus. Because on a very practical perspective, Teresa, I'm a husband, you're a bride. We don't cease to be spouses when we are away from our spouses.
Mm-hmm.
No matter where I am, I'm reflecting my marriage to my bride. No matter where you are, you are reflecting your marriage to your husband. Mm-hmm. The same should be true for how we live our faith in Jesus Christ. We are not just Christians when we go to Mass. We're not just Christians when we say our prayer before meals. We are Christians in all things, so that when everyone sees Marcus Peter, they know this man is husband to someone, in this case, Stephanie Peter. He is father to Benedict and Therese. And so in a similar way, when someone looks at me, they ought to be able to say in every part of his life, his entire conduct reflects this man is a follower and lover of Jesus
Christ. Jesus. Amen. Marcus, so well done. Thank you. I really enjoy this, because then when I go to Mass on Sunday, it just makes so much more sense. So I really, really appreciate it. God bless you. Have a blessed weekend. We look forward to, God willing, next week diving into the Word even more deeply with, of course, Marcus B. Peter. He is our marketing director at Ave Maria Radio and also the host of Unveiling the Covenants. For more information, you can go to AveMariaRadio.net. And Marcus, give us your website one more time.
That's MarcusBPeter.com, Marcus Benedict Peter, MarcusBPeter.com. And I'm consistent about writing every single Monday.
There you go. Dr. Marcus Peter, we'll be right back on a Friday. It's 8:54. Stay tuned.
Ann Arbor Smiles is a state-of-the-art dental practice led by the talents of Drs. Dan Kennedy, Chris Marzoni, and Stephen Gray. One of their many satisfied patients is Father Deacon Lawrence Hendricks.
I was one of the first patients to receive a Sarah crown from Dr. Kennedy. The Sarah technology allows for restorations to be done in one visit. They always use the most advanced techniques in dentistry. I've always enjoyed the friendly staff and the personal relationships that I have at Ann Arbor Smiles.
Go to AnnArborSmiles.com today.
The Heart of the Interior Life with Elizabeth Jingle.
What is the fundamental direction of your spiritual life? Are you moving closer to God or away from Him? Understanding the fundamental direction of a person's spiritual life is key to discernment. Being able to identify the spiritual direction of our lives is a necessary step before beginning a process of discernment. Father Timothy Gallagher writes, Ignatius thus highlights this all-important fact, to discern correctly which spirit is working in a person's heart, and so to know what we should accept or reject, we must first identify the fundamental direction of that person's spiritual life. The first rule in St. Ignatius of Loyola's 14 Rules for the Discernment of Spirits gives us an opportunity to consider anew the direction of our spiritual journey. Take a moment to consider, what is the fundamental direction of your spiritual journey?
For more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.
I'm Jack Krasula. Please join us on Wednesday, May 22nd, 6:30 p.m. at St. John's Resort in Plymouth for the Rosary, followed by a speech by Dr. Scott Hahn entitled Road to Emmaus, Cultivating Eucharistic Amazement. Dr. Hahn is an author, speaker, and the founder and president of St. Paul's Center. No registration is required. For more information, please email jack.krasula, K-R-A-S-U-L-A, at trustinus.com. Thank you. God bless.
Almost 8:56 on a busy Friday morning. Thanks for tuning in to Catholic Connection, a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. Raining out there right now. It's going to be high in the low 70s, and then clearing up over the weekend, but still in the mid to low 70s, so not too bad. Weather-wise, we have some storms in Texas and some rain across the country. Coming up in the second hour of the program, Doug Keck, our President and Chief Operating Officer, will be joining us to talk about what we call the inside word. It gives you a little bit of a scoop as to what's coming up, so you can jot it down, keep it in mind, visit our websites at AveMariaRadio.net and EWTN.com, so you can tune into all the great programming. Fact Check Friday, the facts about what it means when someone says, I am Hamas. And then we're going to wrap up with a Michigander, an amazing brother in the Lord who's doing so much for the pro-life movement. Michael Kenney will be joining us. He's the president of the Pro-Life Partners Foundation, talking about all these powerful new videos that are available to preach the truth in love. We'll be right back.